Our Old Testament reading, Isaiah 53. Our Isaiah text speaks of sheep, and our New Testament text speaks of the shepherd. So we have the sheep in the Old Testament text and the shepherd in the New. Isaiah 53, we're going to read verses 4 through 9, the Word of God. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Our Old Testament reading. Then if you turn in your New Testament to John chapter 10, John chapter 10, and we will read the first 11 verses. Again, the Word of God. If you're able, let's rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." I'm going to read three more verses. "But an hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." The word of our God. You may be seated. Well, this morning we had the privilege of hearing a young man profess his faith in Christ and be added to the church. This is an encouragement to the body of Christ. Some of us have known Greg for many years and have witnessed a dramatic change in his life. God has humbled him and given him a love for the Bible. Jesus said that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Surely the angels in heaven are rejoicing today. A couple months back, when we received another young man, I preached on the topic, Welcome to the Flock. I emphasized how the church is Christ's flock and its members are his sheep. The focus was on the flock. Today we will focus on the shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. As I preach this morning, I have a special message for Greg. Greg, by confessing Christ today, you have put yourself under the control and care of Christ, the good shepherd. You will never regret this. Greg, Christ will never disappoint you. And all of you who have confessed Christ have likewise put yourselves under the Savior's control and care. Christ is the good shepherd. If you missed it, it's in John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Again, in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. These are the only occurrences of this phrase in the whole Bible. Just those two occurrences. Here Christ claims to be the good shepherd. I have 4 points this morning, and the first will be this. Christ is the good shepherd. Note that this is something that Christ says about himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. This is a metaphor. A metaphor is an implied comparison. The Bible has a lot of them. The verse that probably has the record for the number of metaphors in the whole Bible is Psalm 18:2. Here, the psalmist piles 7 metaphors into one verse. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Each of these metaphors expresses a truth to ponder about who God is. And people the world over can ponder those metaphors. Each one communicates to us something about God, something that we can give thanks for, something that we can think about and meditate on. Wonderful metaphors. Well, here in John's Gospel, we have 7 metaphors. I'm just going to give you the first 3 of them. Here in John's Gospel, we hear Christ say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. Jesus is inviting us to consider who he is. In this present instance, twice he says, I am the good shepherd. There are 2 metaphors, actually, in this expression. Shepherd and sheep. Christ cares for, feeds, leads, and protects his flock, his church, as a shepherd cares for his sheep. If by faith you are one of his sheep, you can rest assured that he cares for you. He comes to you in time of trouble and ministers to your needs. Christ is the good shepherd. First, Christ is the good shepherd in contrast to bad shepherds, what he calls strangers, thieves, and robbers who break into the fold to harm the sheep. Uh, A little bit ago, many of us heard the Gideon presentation, and our brother was speaking to us. He didn't know what I was going to be talking about today, but he said, when we go into China, when we Gideons go into China, we go in through the door. We go in through the front door. The Chinese Communist Party knows who we are and why we're there. Well, here, the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. He also makes the statement back in verse 1, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Christ is the true shepherd. He's the only trustworthy religious leader, the only one. Any who lead you away from Christ are imposters and charlatans, and it is your duty to run from them. These men and women are followers of Satan, whose purpose is to destroy the sheep. This is strong language, but it's true and it's called for. Any purported religious leaders who lead you away from Christ, no matter how smooth talking, no matter how well dressed, no matter how impressive their religious institution might appear, are agents of the devil. And Christ's true sheep must run for their lives. The religious leaders of Christ's day rejected Christ. They rejected God's Messiah, the one promised in the Old Testament. Christ came into the world perfectly fulfilling prophecy. The seed of the woman, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the virgin-born Son of God, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one who would be born in the little obscure town of Bethlehem, the one who, when he came, would give sight to the blind, enable the lame to walk, cleanse the lepers, restore hearing to the deaf, raise the dead. Jesus came and perfectly fulfilled all the messianic prophecies, and the religious leaders in Jerusalem rejected him. They declared, "We will not have this man to rule over us." They saw Jesus as a threat, a competitor. Instead of bowing before the Messiah when he came, they delivered him to death. They said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Judaism in Christ's day had a long and illustrious history. It was the faith that went back to Abraham, in fact, to Adam. Judaism in Christ's day had the Levitical priesthood, the divinely appointed sacrifices, an impressive temple in Jerusalem. Yet it rejected Christ, and from that point on, it became a false religion. Jesus called the religious leaders of his day thieves and robbers, false shepherds who had no business being in the sheepfold. They did not enter in through the door, but climbed in some other way. Here is a picture of wicked men carrying out a home invasion. If you have ever had your home broken into, you know what I mean. You feel violated, taken advantage of. You never again feel safe in your own space. When guests come to my home, they come to the door. They knock on the door, and I invite them in. They do not try to come in through a window or by breaking down a wall. Anyone who would try to do that, we know instinctively, is a bad guy, an evildoer, a lawbreaker. He is to be repelled by force. Christ says that false religious leaders do not come in through the door, but they climb up some other way. What does it mean to climb up some other way? It is, as one commentator has put it, to enter the sheepfold pretending to be a true pastor of Christ's flock, quote, without the necessary prerequisites and qualifications, without first obtaining a saving acquaintance with Christ and genuine love to Him, without being called to and qualified for the work by Him, thus without authority from Him, who, influenced by unworthy motives, by a view to wealth or honor or ease or a regular salary, gets himself appointed a minister of Christ's church. End quote. Well, here is a religious leader posing as a servant of Christ, but he or she is actually a thief and a robber. A thief or robber does not have your best interest at heart. He doesn't want to lead you to Christ. He doesn't want to see you in heaven. He or she wants your money, your tithes, your support, but he doesn't truly care about your soul. He wants to claim you as one of his followers, but he doesn't want you to go to heaven. Oh, my friend, Christ truly does care about your soul. He left heaven's glory to come to earth to save his people from their sins. He is the good shepherd who infallibly leads his flock to heaven, where the redeemed will be in the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever, rejoicing with the saints. Christ is the good shepherd, in contrast to false shepherds who want to take you with them to hell. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, he says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Yes, Jesus is the good shepherd, in contrast to all religious charlatans. But there is another way in which he is good. He is morally good. He is absolutely good, supremely good, sinless. All the fallen sons and daughters of Adam have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us fall short of God's standard of absolute perfection. As a consequence, we are excluded from heaven without a mediator. But Christ is morally good. He's upright. He's pure. He's truly good. He's Jesus Christ, the righteous. 1 John 2:1, the virgin-born Son of God. Inheriting his humanity from his mother, he did not have a biological human father. He did not descend from Adam by ordinary generation through the physical union of two human parents. He did not inherit original sin. Christ is the good shepherd. He is morally pure and upright. He's the sinless one, alone qualified to go to the cross and to die for his people. If you come to God through him, Hebrews 7:25, he will save you. He will shepherd you through this life and lead you to glory. He is the only one that can do this. No other human can save you. Your parents cannot save you. Your church cannot save you. You cannot save yourself. The only way you can be saved is through him who came into the world to save sinners. This morning, we heard a man profess that he believes the Bible to be the Word of God and its doctrine of salvation to be the true doctrine of salvation. There is no other way to heaven than through Christ. The gospel is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. I invite you in Christ's name to call upon him today and be saved. Will you do that? If so, then you will be able to say with the psalmist, where he uses another metaphor, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1. Well, second, consider Christ feeds his sheep, leads his sheep, protects his sheep. What is the job of a shepherd? It is to feed his sheep, lead his sheep, protect his sheep. His sheep are his livelihood, and it is to his advantage to care to them to the best of his ability. Sheep are valuable animals. They're valuable for their wool, for their lanolin, for their meat. If a shepherd properly cares for his sheep, then he will prosper. So he has a vested interest in caring for his sheep. But Christ is the good shepherd. And as a shepherd, he feeds us, leads us, protects us. He feeds us spiritual truth through his written and preached word. He declares, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17, 17. There are lots of people who do not believe. This time of year, there are always stories in the news that cast doubt upon the truth of the resurrection. That claim that Christ didn't rise from the dead. But the child of God, born again by the Holy Spirit, hears the shepherd's voice and recognizes it to be the infallible word of God. "My sheep hear my voice," the Savior said. In a world with all kinds of conflicting truth claims, the born-again Christian knows intuitively that only the Christian worldview makes sense. If the world is purely a product of chance, rather than the purposeful creation of an all-powerful God, then there is no truth. No one's perception of reality is any better than anybody else's. Love your neighbor? Why do that? It's survival of the fittest. Dog eat dog, every man for himself. Why be good? There is no objective good and evil. All there is opinion without Christ. Christ feeds us with the truth of his word. He feeds us with the truth regarding himself. He is, as John puts it in 1 John 5:20, the true God and eternal life. As the prophet Isaiah foretold some 700 years before his birth, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Christ leads his sheep, and his sheep intuitively follow. He puts forth his own sheep and goes before them. He calls his sheep by name. He has planned out the best life for each one of them. Even the trials and setbacks of this life are planned out in advance by our wise and faithful Heavenly Father. We may not experience our best life now, but we know without a doubt that we will experience our best life forever. Our earthly life is over in an instant. We all fade as the flower of the field. On the way in this morning, it was so beautiful. The sun was coming in, and I'm not even sure how it came up, but I mentioned to Norma, wouldn't it be nice to have the experience and the maturity that we have now, but have young bodies again? Well, that doesn't happen in this world. We all fade like the flower of the field. Every one of us must one day die. But the captain of our salvation will infallibly lead us to glory. He will lose none of his elect. They are all important to him. He will preserve them. There's a Christian satire website called the Babylon Bee. In 2017, when Hurricane Harvey battered Houston, Texas, causing record flooding, the Babylon Bee satirically spoofed televangelist Joel Osteen with a headline that read, "Joel Osteen sails luxury yacht through flooded Houston to pass out copies of Your Best Life Now." The article went viral, prompting a fact check from Snopes. So which is it? Your best life now, if you follow the religious charlatan's health, wealth gospel? Or your best life forever, if you follow Christ? Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He who knows the end from the beginning tells us the truth. And the truth is that if we follow Christ, we will be with him forever. This is not pie in the sky by and by. This is gospel truth. In this world, we will have tribulation. But as followers of Christ, we can take heart. He has overcome the world. At his death, Satan fell like lightning from heaven. In case that wasn't perfectly clear, at Christ's death, Satan fell like lightning from heaven. His doom was forever sealed. Those who are born again by the blessed Holy Spirit know that there will come a day when God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. A day when all the elect will hear Christ's commanding voice, "Behold, I make all things new." Revelation 21, 4 and 5. Thirdly, Christ goes after lost sheep. Our Old Testament text, Isaiah 53, tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Here the inspired prophet likens God's people to sheep. This is not a flattering comparison. Sheep are not particularly bright. They cannot care for themselves. They cannot find their way back when they are lost. They are totally dependent on shepherds. As Jesus said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Jesus is the good shepherd. If a human shepherd goes to such lengths to go after a lost sheep, then surely Christ, the good shepherd, goes after lost sheep as well. Peter writes, "We were as sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls." 1 Peter 2:25. How have we, as sheep running away from God, returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls? Through the power of Christ's Holy Spirit. Christ said, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." The risen and exalted Savior sends his Spirit to the farthest corners of the earth to regenerate spiritually dead hearts and draw his elect to himself. As the psalmist said, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Psalm 110, verse 3. Christ's redeeming work is perfect. Out of all whom the Father has given him, he will lose nothing but raise it up at the last day. The good shepherd goes after lost sheep and brings them to himself. We had an example of this in our midst this morning. When Greg, a lost and needy soul wandering far from Christ, who formerly, I can testify, wanted nothing to do with the gospel. He was compelled to acknowledge Christ as his Savior and Lord and to profess faith in Christ, his Savior. Greg did nothing to deserve God's favor, and neither did we. All the glory must go to the Good Shepherd, who specializes in going after lost sheep. Christ indeed uses means. He raises up preachers of the gospel to herald forth his truth. He raises up men and women to give out Bibles and other men and women who support them. He motivates his followers to live for him and to testify for him. But in the end, it is Christ who goes after lost sheep. And to him be the glory. Finally, fourthly, Christ is the chief shepherd. The elders of the church are under shepherds. Yes, the elders of the church are shepherds. Peter instructs the elders of the church in this language, 1 Peter 5, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you." Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. How significant that Peter does not address himself as the first pope, or even as the apostle. He could have done that. The apostle Paul did. Here he addresses himself as a fellow elder. His attitude is one of humility. He's simply a fellow elder, one among many. There is a plurality of elders in a biblically faithful church. Christ is the chief shepherd. And by implication, the elders who are among you are under shepherds. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble, as he will say in the very next verse. The obvious application of this truth is that church elders are under shepherds who lead men and women, boys and girls, to Christ. If anyone leads poor souls away from Christ, he is in no sense an under shepherd. He is an enemy of Christ. Oh, dear people, wherever you go in this world, you have a responsibility to be part of a faithful flock that follows Christ, the Good Shepherd. While you are here, be faithful, be a faithful member of this flock, and help to build it up to be a thriving community of God's people. But if God should call you elsewhere, whether to get an education, or advance your career, or to be closer to family, or to take care of aging parents, or whatever the reason might be, then be part of a faithful flock. Christ is building his church, his visible kingdom on earth, and he wants you to be part of it. I came across the following in an alumni magazine that came to our door this past week. It is from a young woman who works in youth ministry at a church in our area. She graduated from the church's leadership school and is pursuing her pastoral credentials, the article said. Here is a woman seeking ordination to the Christian ministry. The denomination of which her church is a part ordains women as pastors. This is contrary to Scripture. The Bible says, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence." As well as the requirement that a pastor be the husband of one wife, nothing is said anywhere in Scripture of a pastor being the wife of one husband. The reason I bring this up is because what this would-be minister advocates, citing Matthew 28:19, which is a verse that all of us ought to know by heart, The verse that says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This young woman says, and I quote, "To engage God's world, we don't need more pastors, more churches. What we need is people who love Jesus and love people to go out into all places and make disciples. You don't need a title or a degree to engage God's world. You can do it right where you are." Well, incredulously, the young woman pursuing her pastoral credentials quotes a scripture text that speaks of baptizing, something done only by churches and ordained men in the New Testament. She cites that verse and she says, "We don't need more pastors, more churches. Christ told us he is building his church prior to the second coming." But this young woman is quite sure the church is unnecessary. All a person needs is love and zeal. Of course, that is not a biblical view at all. We have seen then that Christ is the good shepherd. He feeds his sheep. He leads his sheep. He goes after lost sheep. He is the chief shepherd. The elders of the church are under shepherds. Christ does not leave his sheep to flounder. He unfolds them in his flock. He teaches them through the proclamation of his word. He truly cares for his sheep. He leads them to heaven. He will never leave them nor forsake them. Though they are vulnerable, his sheep are protected. He is the good shepherd. He is not a thief or a robber. His purpose is not to fleece the sheep, but to feed the sheep. Look to Christ. Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Christ's testimony, "I am the good shepherd." And Lord, those of us who know him can testify to the fact that he is the good shepherd. Lord, in a world of confusion, in a world of conflicting ideas, conflicting worldviews, it is comforting to come home to the truth and to realize that Jesus indeed is the Messiah of God, the one promised throughout the Old Testament, the one who comes in the New Testament and fulfills all of those Old Testament prophecies, the one who came for the specific purpose, not of worldly glory, but of building his kingdom, and specifically to save his people from their sins. Lord, we are lost without you. There is no hope for us without you. But thank you, Lord, that in the gospel there is hope. And that hope is there because Christ is the good shepherd. Lord, we were heartened this morning to hear Greg confess you as his Savior and Lord. We were heartened, Lord, to see the way you have changed his thinking so radically. And you've brought him to the point where he wanted to confess Christ. He wanted to be received into your covenant people. He wants to come to the Lord's table. He realizes that without you, Lord Jesus, he can do nothing. Lord, we are so thankful that the one to whom he has come is truly the Good Shepherd. There is no other good shepherd. There's one way of salvation. There's one Savior. There's one requirement. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, I pray that you will give to us all the gift of faith. Help us to see, Lord, that without Christ, there is nothing certain in this world. But in Christ, everything is certain. Our destiny is certain. Thank you, Lord, that you could say when you are here, out of all that the Father has given me, I have lost nothing. Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing many sons and daughters to glory. Lord, we worship you for being the Good Shepherd. We pray these things now in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.